We have spent the last 2 weeks looking and explaining many of the verses in Romans chapter 5, specifically dealing with sin and its consequences. The first message was how that sin has infected and influenced mankind in general. The fact is, and you cannot deny this, that when the Bible says that sin hath passed upon all men, we know that to be a reality. We know the Bible is true, that all men are sinners, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that no one meets the perfect standard of the holiness, the righteousness of God Almighty. We are all sinners. Not only are we sinners from the time we're conceived, but we also, when we live our lives without Jesus Christ, we continue in sin. And sin is such a disruptive force. Think about all the immorality and the ungodliness and the violence and the hatred and the cruelty and the murder and the rape and the theft and deception. All of that comes from a heart that is deceitful and wicked. What man can know it? Sin has had such a consequence upon mankind that they're dead in their trespasses and in sins. Most sinners don't even acknowledge the peril that they're in. They don't even understand that they have come short of the glory of God. They don't care. They will not heed the warnings that are found in Scripture. Their minds are at carnal enmity against God. Their heart is set upon the things of the world, and their soul is lost. So many souls are perishing today because of sin. And last week, with the backdrop of human depravity, last week's message was a literal ray of sunshine. S-O-N, shine, sunshine. It amazes me that God would send a Savior for people so worthy of damnation, so worthy of eternal destruction. But we can cling to the promise. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as I thought this week about last week's message, how it humbled my heart as I thought about all the sins that I've committed and how that Jesus Christ loved me so much that He took all of them and paid the penalty that, and the debt that I could never pay. He died in my stead. He took all my debts, and in return, He gave me His righteousness. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor. That we, through His poverty, might be made rich. Jesus had to die in order for us to be forgiven. In order for us to be saved, justified, reconciled, redeemed. And God did not spare His only Son, only begotten Son. He did not spare Him of the wrath and the penalty that was due. He suffered like no one has ever suffered, body, soul, and spirit. He gave everything for the redemption of His people. He gave His blood as a holy sacrifice. Now, what are the consequences of sin for those who reject Christ? Who reject this message of grace? Who reject the greatest display of love the world will ever know? The manifestation of mercy of Jesus Christ coming into this world to save sinners. Well, as I thought about Romans 5, I began to look at the contrast between those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the results of that and the consequences on the other side of those who do not believe. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified, declared not guilty, acquitted, forgiven, resulting in peace with God. There's no hostility there, no enmity there. Jesus paid the price and He gave you His righteousness. And now you stand before Him just as if you never sinned, because you are bearing the righteousness of Christ. That's how the Father sees you, if you're justified by faith. So what's the contrast? If you're not justified, you're condemned. Which means that you will be punished for the guilt of your sin. There will be condemnation. There is a result of sowing to the flesh, to your old nature, to your sinful desires. You will reap eternal corruption and judgment. Verse 8. For God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Again, the contrast that's manifested here. Loved, saved from wrath through Christ's perfect sacrifice. Justified by His blood. this day, because I am a believer in Jesus Christ and I am in union with Him, I will never suffer the wrath of God. Even though I deserve it. Even though my life has merited the judgment and the wrath of God for all eternity for my sins. I've been saved from wrath through Christ. Through His perfect sacrifice. The contrast, rather than being saved, unsaved. Still bearing your sins. And rather than being saved from wrath, you are subject to the wrath of God. Not just for a day or a week or a year or a decade or a century, but for all eternity for your sins. Subject to God's wrath. Because you do not believe the record that God gave of His Son, how that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And the Bible says this in John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Back to Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, again, this is such a display of grace, of unmerited favor. I was an enemy of God. I hated God. I despised His law. I've defied His government. I was selfish and hateful. I was an enemy of God. And despite that, He reconciled me through Jesus Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, brought back into the good favor of God by the death of Jesus Christ, by His blood shedding, by His sacrifice, by His offering, we're brought back to God and have peace with Him. And it says, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Again, the comparison and contrast are stark. We are reconciled, resulting in joy in the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that gives us hope and strength each and every day. Joy as we look towards the future, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. But without that reconciliation, there is separation and estrangement for all eternity. From all that is good and gracious and holy and pure. If you die in your sins, you will bear the weight of your sin throughout all eternity. You will never feel a moment of happiness ever again. And it'll be your own fault. Because the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God and from grace and from goodness and from holiness to an eternity of woe where there is no joy, no happiness, only torment and the wrath of God and the fires of hell. You say, is that true? Well, I believe in the real Jesus. I believe in the real Jesus who's revealed in the Holy Scriptures. I believe what He said because He is the truth. And here's what Jesus said to those who reject the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus said, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The real Jesus said of all those who reject Him as Lord and Savior, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Eternal separation from God, as opposed to eternal acceptance in the presence of God. And then Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord." Eternal life is freely given. The price of redemption, the price of salvation was fully paid by Jesus Christ. You don't do anything to earn that merit. There's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. It is the free gift. It's given through Jesus Christ. The contrast. It says that the wages of sin is death. You earn a wage. You probably don't believe this, but you are going to be punished for your sins and your unbelief and your rejection of Jesus Christ, and it will be fully justified. Your punishment will be fully justified by God. He is just. Now, you may not think that you're as bad enough to go to hell, but it says the wages of sin, your sin is accruing wages. You're going to be rewarded for your sins. The Bible says this in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished." This is so clear, so evident. Those who do not obey the gospel, it says without reservation, without qualification, who shall be punished. Because they are worthy, because they deserve it, because they are sinners. And I should be among this group. But grace intervened. Grace changed me. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. This is why I urge you, I implore you, I plead with you. And I pray for you that God will open your heart and your mind, and even today, you'll submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you will say like that publican, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. That's why I preach often on the grace of Christ. But I would not be an honest man of God if I did not warn you like Jesus did to flee from the wrath to come. If I did not implore you in the strongest possible terms that there are consequences of sin and unbelief. If you die in your sins, you are going to be eternally separated from God, from grace, from goodness. If you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell. And you're going to be tormented day and night, punished for your sins. And I think those who have heard the gospel will have, especially those who have heard it many, many times, are going to bear a greater responsibility. It's why Hebrews 2 says this, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, the wages of sin is death. There is a just payment, a reward for your sins, and it's not a good one. It's damnation, condemnation, eternal separation. For if the word spoken by, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. The message of grace that I preach to you week in and week out, it's the message of Christ Himself. It's confirmed by the writers of Scripture, and by the lives of those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and who have been changed by the power of God. And if you die in your sins, you will have to answer for a calloused rejection of the truth. Psalm 2:12 says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. We've been studying the Gospel of John on Sunday evenings for quite a while. And I'm amazed by how many times Jesus expressed the truth and implored people to believe it, or those who were with Him. John 1:29, John the Baptist said this, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is." "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Complete spiritual satisfaction for all eternity in Jesus Christ, given freely by His grace. John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If you die in your sins, you're going to outer darkness for all eternity in the lake of fire. John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," liberated from the bondage and the penalty of sin through the truth as it is in Jesus. Or you will be bound in the shackles of unbelief as a Christ rejecter for all eternity. John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freedom, forgiveness, life, peace, eternal life. It's all bound up in Jesus Christ. "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely." John 12:46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." I've been a faithful preacher. I have faithfully proclaimed Jesus Christ as the only way to God for nearly 39 years of public ministry.
I care for your souls. I care for the souls of men and women and boys and girls throughout our community, our county, our state, our country. I preach the gospel here. I preach it in the streets. I proclaim it through the printed word. Because I want to see people reconciled to God. There is a day of reckoning. If you die without Christ today, the undertaker will come. He'll drain your body of all your fluids. He'll replace them with formaldehyde. And you'll be preserved long enough for a funeral service. But that's just your old body. That's just the shell. That's not you. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. If you die in your sins, you will be immediately taken to hell. You can read the account in the Gospel of Luke about the rich man Lazarus. How that as soon as the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in hell in torment. I take no pleasure in preaching on the consequences of unbelief, but it is a truth that must be preached. God is just, and He will judge. He has promised over and over and over again. So if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. But that's not all there is. Because there will be a resurrection of the unjust dead. The results will be you will be summoned somewhere in the universe to the great white throne. The Bible says this in Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Lest you think you don't deserve the lake of fire, here will be a complete record for your review at the great, great white throne of all your sins. Every single sin cataloged. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The ultimate consequences for the pleasures of sin. They're enjoyable only for a season, but it'll wreck your life and ultimately result in eternal condemnation. Make no mistake about it, If you don't have genuine saving faith in Jesus Christ, and if your life has never truly been changed by the power of Almighty God, you will suffer the eternal destruction of the second death, which is separation from God, to be punished in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And this truth is confirmed by Jesus. Matthew 13:42, "...shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 22:13, "...cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away into everlasting punishment." This is the ultimate consequence for sin. Will you continue on in unbelief? The last chapter of the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." How I pray that God will give you grace to come and trust Jesus. I'm not talking about coming to the front of the church, although if you are saved, you should make a public profession. I'm talking about coming to Christ, saying, "Lord, I want to be saved more than anything else in the world. I need to be forgiven of my sins. And I want Christ more than anything. Let him that is athirst come." Let's all stand.
Page number 79.